Blog Talk Radio.
The scriptures clearly teach is that we, as believers, should know history. God tells us in passages like Romans 15:4 and Isaiah 43. He tells us also in 1 Corinthians 10 and Hebrews 11 and Psalm 73 and 78 and so many other places. He says to recall the former days, to remember the former times. Throughout the scriptures, we see that when a people remembers their history, they behave differently than when they forget their history. We see that even recovering histories, in the case of Josiah and the temple, leads to a national revival. Or in the case of Esther and Mordecai, the use of history by the king one night kept Mordecai from being hanged on the gallows and thus preserved the nation. So history is huge. God is into it. But in America, we don't do a good job of knowing our own history, and we need to. The scripture says that his people perish for lack of knowledge. We've been taught in America for years that what we're about is economics. We formed this nation because of taxation without representation. We need to know our history better. Taxation without representation does appear in the Declaration of Independence, but it's only one out of 27 issues that appear there. There's also religious issues. There's moral issues. There's so many other things than what we just hear today on economics. We need to go back and see that we were founded in this nation. Four clauses of the Declaration say that they didn't want activist judges. Two clauses say they wanted to end slavery. We have clauses over preserving the right to have Bible societies and other religious exercises. So as Christians, we need to know our history. We don't need to just go with what we've been taught. We ought to go back and read the documents. It's one thing to be taught what the Bible says. It's another thing to read it. So I challenge you. Follow up on what God says in the Scriptures. Know our history. Recall the former days. Let's go back and look at some of the patriots we had that were such strong Christians that are leaders that we don't even hear about today. So I challenge you, do some research, go to websites, look at things that will tell you about your faith history as a Christian. It's important you know that so that you know how to behave today.
Welcome, listeners, to City on a Hill Radio Show. Thank you for tuning in. We are so grateful, as always, that you take time out of your busy schedule and share the show with your friends and family. And we have some amazing guests on the show that talks about a variety of topics, and we are always so grateful for the opportunity to hear in detail from the likes of John Bernard, who lost his son, killed in action in Afghanistan in 2009. And his heart is for the military. His son is gone, but he wants to do what he can for today's young men and women that are serving us in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and wherever they are. So we're glad to have him on the show, and he usually comes on every other Tuesday, unless there's something else going on with his schedule. And one of the things that he's trying to do is really to be heard by Congress regarding the problems with a strategy. You know, we should be winning in Afghanistan. We should have already won in Iraq. But as you're seeing in some of the news, when you get it, when there's not a crisis elsewhere, you will hear and see that indeed, you know, we need to make some changes in the strategy in Afghanistan and in Iraq even, because we're being seen as the enemy, and we are not the enemy. Our young men and women have died so that hopefully there will be freedom there from tyranny, so that they will not come over here. We're still having a little bit of problem. I'm going to put you on pause for just a minute and try to get our co-host a different way. So hang on. Okay, welcome listeners to City on the Hill Radio Show. We have got Ms. Barbara Moore, our co-host today. Hi, Ms. Barbara, how are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing great, thank you. So blessed to be here. I had to talk with our friend Ms. Annette Griswold yesterday, and she had me laughing a little bit, so that was very, very good indeed.
I got a lot to be grateful for. Our dear friend John Bernard at the beginning of the show, I could hear you. You could not hear me. But anyway, what a warrior he is. What a strong patriot that he is. And we're so privileged to have him. You know, Diana, he explains things so clearly. I understand much more than I would have ever understood. I understand more from having listened to him and his explanations about the coin strategy and how ineffective it is, and how the rules of engagement do not favor our soldiers, our warriors, but they do the opposite and favor the enemy. And so, you know, we are so privileged to have him on the radio with us.
Oh, yes, Ms. Barbara. You know, I'm amazed at the people that comes on the show. You know, it's like God has really gifted us with incredible speakers. And I think of one, too, Sandra Cano. You know, she is the other side of Roe v. Wade that most people don't hear about, the Doe v. Bolton case that really opened the door for the late-term abortion. And people would never hear her story, but yet this woman wants to speak and has been on our show quite a bit, and we'll be on again. And so that right there, you know, she is just an amazing person. And, you know, that's a story that really every American needs to hear. And just like John Bernard's story, and also I think of Don Wildman, the Tea Party, you know, one of our staunchest patriotic, you know, fighter for truth and justice, you know, and for constitutional ways. My goodness, I almost feel like when I see now what they're talking about with the budget battle, you really do feel like you have lost. I mean, really, you can feel what the market is feeling now that, you know, the information is coming out as to really what unfortunately has been signed on. And I know people feel like it was necessary, but it's still got left a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths.
Yes, indeed. But, you know, not everyone agreed that it was necessary. As a matter of fact, Michelle Bachmann did not agree and did not vote for it. And
I'm
there
proud
were
of that.
Several others that refused to vote for it as well. So, and they had very important reasons for their stands. So, you know, we need to look at that and see who had the foresight not to be in favor of it. Sarah Palin is another one that said
and,
she opposed it.
I saw Ms. Barbara where Martha Roby opposed it also.
Good.
I think that's what I got out of the email that I received from her is, you know, she just felt like it was going to really, I think she was very concerned. One of the things was about the military, that it was going to be used
Absolutely.
Pretty much as a pawn,
yes.
and
yes.
that's what it looks like. But I think what had happened to Ms. Barbara is there was a fear that was placed in all of these legislators' mind, even the staunchest Tea Party, you know, House Republican member. I think some of them were very fearful because of the fear mongering, even though, because really nobody knew how the market would react. But now, you know, hindsight is 2020, and we see, I've heard before, they say, well, the market will react, and, you know, if this is wrong or right. And as you're seeing, the market is really reacting because they're knowing that really all we've done is put, what is it, a millstone around our neck? I mean, that sounds extreme, but
yeah.
it's pretty bad.
Yeah, but the thing is that each person had to vote what they know was right, regardless of what was threatened, and some of them did that. Others were affected by the rhetoric and the propaganda. But the thing about that is that Barack Obama got what he wanted. He got what he wanted. He wanted that debt ceiling raised so that we could continue to borrow beyond our means and the Treasury would stay full until after he was reelected president. That's what he wanted. That was the bottom line. It was all about him, and they gave him what he wanted.
I, too, Ms. Barbara, I think, you know, you hear him saying, no, we're going to do everything and we're going to focus back on jobs. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, even with the money that he put in there, he's really not going to be able to open up the doors to jobs because, in effect, he has done the opposite. He
yeah.
has put so much fear in the owners of businesses who
yeah.
are the ones they will hire that they're not going to.
Small business creates 70% of our jobs in the United States of America. Small businesses. And small businesses have been overregulated, overburdened. They've been threatened. You know, all manner of excessive increased costs due to the Obamacare. And Obama has effectively shut small businesses down. They are not expanding. They are not creating more jobs. This is not a business-friendly atmosphere in this country. We have the highest corporate tax of any place in the world. And you can they have created a climate that is so anti-business that these businesses are not going to create jobs, and it is only from the private sector that jobs are created. And, you know, so we're in a really, really, really bad place at this point. However, there is good news on the horizon. Representative Connie Mack from Florida has a plan that is growing in popularity with the American people and with the United States Congress as well, and it is the penny plan or the 1% plan, and it is to not cut the rate of growth of increased spending, but to actually cut spending 1% every year. 1% on every dollar is to be cut. And by the end of 7 or 8 years, the budget will be balanced, and we should be in good shape at that point. If we do these real cuts, not a cut on the rate of growth of spending.
Now, Ms. Barber, is that 1% across the board, everybody?
It is.
Oh,
it is.
Wonderful.
It is. And as he said, you know, how many of us have not reduced our spending by 1% on it, 1 cent on every dollar?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
We have done it. We can do it. And so can they. There is so much waste and bureaucracy. There are so many agencies that are duplicates of one another.
Exactly.
To do the same function, but they have all these bureaucrats on staff and heavily funded. It can be done. It can be done, and it's coming on the scene. The people
Barbara,
are on the internet.
I'm sorry. I want to ask more about that penny because I'd like to ask when's that going to start. But let me start with prayer. We've almost forgot. Start with prayer. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that our hope is in you. Thank you, Lord, that we live in the land of possibilities, Lord, that we have choices that we can make where the path of this nation is to go. And that, Lord, you did not make us as robots. You gave us with minds, Lord, Heavenly Father, that can discern. And, Lord, we ask for your wisdom. We ask that you give it to our listeners, that they will pass it on. We ask that you help us to have words that comes from you, Lord, Heavenly Father, in the proceedings of this program today, Lord. And, Lord, the problems of this nation is great, but, Lord, you are almighty. There is nothing hard for you, and as in the days of the founding of this nation, Lord, you made a way. You opened up heaven, Lord, and stretched down, and you made a way. So we ask that you be with us, Lord, and we thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Diana.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, I was going to ask more for those that I've listened and I've heard a little bit about it, but I don't know the detail. Can you tell me, Ms. Barbara, if this is something that they can agree on right to sign this year and what kind of effect will that have? How long will it take an effect, or will that have to wait until after the election to take an effect?
Okay, it won't have to wait until after the election. They can pass this legislation when they return after the August vacation, the August recess. When they return to Washington, D.C., they can begin work on this legislation immediately. Of course, it will have to have a veto-proof majority. It can get it in the House. The Senate's going to be iffy. But if the American people will talk to their senators while they are on this August break, as well as their House members, it can be done. If the will of the American people is to do it, and we really, really talk to our Congress people and just insist upon it, you know. But it does have to come from us. It really does.
Wow, that sounds so much better, and is really not as painful as what we've been trying to do, isn't it, Ms. Barbara? I mean, it really sounds so much better.
Yeah, it is better. It is so much better. And, you know, we need to do that, and we need to defund Obamacare as well. Those are very, very, very important things to do, but it is doable.
Wow. Well, that is incredible. They need to have a website for that. where people can get all sorts of information and
there
all
is.
That.
There
okay.
is. Go to ConnieMack.com or type in Connie Mack Penny Plan or anything with Connie Mack, and there will appear several different websites that you can go to, and you can find it. And I think it's also on Facebook, and that he has a Facebook page on it. It's simple, it's sensible, it's doable, and you know, it's like, well, why wasn't this thought of a long time ago? You know, it's like, so you know, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's come to the aid of our country. Now is the time to come to the aid of our country. If we don't aid our country at this point, I honestly believe that before long there won't be a country. We won't have a country to aid. You know, it'll be so far gone.
Well, that is really very hopeful, Ms. Barbara, because when you know, all you're hearing really is gloom and doom right now, because what they're saying has been done is, you know, this $2 trillion that Obama has asked for, he's going to spend within 6 months, which really is going to be multiplied when you think of the fact that we're borrowing money. It's going to cost us a lot more than that.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I mean, it's... what was done is not a solution. It really is not a solution, not a long-term solution, not even a short-term solution. You know,
well, Ms. Barbara, don't you think, in a way, it really showed the hand of everybody who is for truth and who's for lies, who is for letting this nation go down in chaos, and who is not. You know, I just think. Because now I think that we're hearing all this talk and the market is reflecting the truth. I think the Americans, even the naysayers, can't help but, hey, you know, the market knows how it's going to affect things for them. So, you know, hey, I may be wrong. The market knows I don't.
Right, right. Well, yeah, the market is going to reflect all this. But, you know... the foundation of this country was based on biblical truth, such as the borrower is servant of the lender. So even though there have been times in our nation's history that we have borrowed, it's never been done to this extent, and it's never been done to those that have vowed to rule us, such as Communist China. You know, Communist China has made no secret of the fact that they have been building up their military. They've been building up their, we've even helped them build up their military. They have announced that they do intend to rule the world. They expect to. They intend to. They think it is their place to do so. Now, that's not just a new idea under the communists. The Chinese have always had this idea, back to ancient China, that they were destined, that they were the center of the world, and they were destined to rule the world. However, you know, they continue to promote this among their people. We saw it at the Olympics. We saw the grand display of supremacy in their Olympic program. But they've written about it, and they are the ones that hold most of our debt, you know, and they're getting a little bit nervous about lending us any more. But what happens if we cannot pay our debt? What happens? What are they going to do to us? They're going to be able to dictate to us what they want to do to us. You know, the borrower is the servant of the lender, the Bible says. So, you know, we have not been careful and cautious and prudent and wise in our policies until this point.
Miss Barbara, I think you're right. And really, it affects our, we've always been seen as a leader in the world, but I think we're going to see in the future where, you know, things that we could have said something about, we will no longer be saying anything. So it'll be subtle, you know, it'll be subtle things because they'll be doing.
Yes.
Hi, Miss Barbara. We're back on. Sorry. I
don't know. I think maybe it was a little thunder or something.
Oh, well, that's all right. We're back on. But I was just saying, we apologize, listeners. We have a new Blog Talk Radio studio. We're trying to learn it, and I think they're trying to learn it, too, because this
all
is
right,
our second
well.
One. But we'll keep on going up. We thank God for the opportunity to do it this way. But, Ms. Barbara, I was just saying, as a leader, and America is known around the world, you know, for standing for human rights and a lot of good things. I think, as you're inferring, you know, our voice is going to be dimmed because they're going to tell us things in the back room that, we're not going to hear in the news, but they're going to muffle us so that we do not say anything.
Well, I mean, they're even coming out in broad daylight. Putin of Russia said that that the United States is a parasite upon the world, a parasite living off of others, living off the accomplishments and the benefits of others, called the United States of America a parasite. This is the most powerful man in Russia. The former KGB agent, who was prime minister, and now he has this tremendous power. He is gathering to himself his allies. Iran is lining up with Russia, as well as others. But you know. That is historic.
Well, it's like, I hate to say it, it's like the pot calling the kettle black. I have heard some of the things that he does, I can't even say some of the things that he does, but for him to call us that, I mean, I think if anybody's taken advantage of anybody, he has taken advantage of Russia, his own country.
But the thing is, never has anything like that been spoken in public. Now, whatever they say in private is something else. But to challenge the United States of America to speak of us in such a derogatory manner, he never could have done that before. But he sees our vulnerability, he sees our weakness, and he's going to use it. And he is using it. And he is announcing to the world that we are weak and he is strong.
Oh, well, you know, he reminds me of Chavez, Miss Barbara. He really has a big ego. And it does not help when we do these things to ourselves, you know. It's just fodder for people like this with big egos, I think, to say what they say, because we have diminished ourselves in a way. But you know, I love to go to Debka.com because to me that just gives us a lot of insight. Unfortunately, our mainstream media does not give us a lot of insight anymore. It's more or less, they're really a talking point for liberal ideas.
Oh, yeah. They march to the drum of those that are pulling their strings. They are mere puppets in the hands of the George Soros people. And absolutely. I mean, you can't expect anything good to come from the NBC and ABC and CBS and all that. Well, I mean, it's just not going to get truth from them.
Mm-mm. Well, the reason I was saying that about Putin is, you know, I've heard them talk about on some shows. I've even heard AFR talk about that. But I'm looking here where they've got, you know, that he likes to flex his muscles before cameras, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So he has a big ego. But I was thinking on Debka.com, you know, if you'll follow, and I'm getting to where I try to read it every day, but you really do see Russia flexing their muscles China. But what's so bad is our own Obama is right in there with them.
Yeah. Yeah, he agrees with them. Yeah. And but they, you know, they never would have been doing this, but but for the weakness that they see. They believe we're a paper tiger and I have no teeth and no claws left. So you know, that's where we are. That's where we are.
And I think if we heard more of the kind of news that you would see on something like Debka.com, you really can see more of the manipulation. I hate to say it, you know, and the part that a president plays. But maybe all this budget debate, Ms. Barbara, because I think in a way it was like a cliffhanger for most Americans. Most simple Americans are scared because they don't know what's going to happen to their jobs tomorrow. They're going to even have a job tomorrow, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that people are really starting to see him for what he is. I
hope you're right.
I'm hoping that's what, you know, the good that's coming out of it. And plus, I just think of even while we've talked about the Agenda 21, when you have a UN Agenda 21, which most people in the past have thought, oh, this is, you know, this is from the lunatic fringe. You know, even when you try to tell them, hey, this is from the United Nations. But now when you put in the fact that Obama has given it you know, the reality is Obama has allowed for this passage of local Agenda 21 to happen, so it can happen in your own town. I don't think you can naysay it anymore. I don't think you can say that this is, you know, not real or this is made up. It is real, and the president, unfortunately, is behind it.
Well, you know, Diana, the thing is that people have to be able to sit still long enough to examine these policies, this Agenda 21 plan that is being implemented throughout our country at the local level. And, you know, it's hard to get people's attention. It is very, very hard. So many are so busy working one or two jobs, if they have a job, and you know, doing everything they can to keep their families together, and it's a real hectic world that we live in, and we're bombarded constantly with noise, whether it's the noise of the television or the radio or the computer or the phones. People walk around and their phones are noisy, you know, talking to them. They're listening or watching things on their phone. But it's a constant. So many of the people in our country are constantly filled with noise so that it keeps people from thinking. It keeps people's minds somewhere else to keep them from having to face what we're facing and keep, you know, they might worry if they actually began to look at reality. It can be very, very frightening. It can be very, very troubling and worrying to people. So a lot of times as a defense mechanism, people try to just fill their lives with busyness and stuff and to keep from looking at what we're talking about here. If they would look, they could see. But people want to avoid thinking about the difficulties, I think.
Well, Ms. Barbara, I think you're right. And, you know, I was talking to somebody in a grocery store yesterday, a manager, and, you know, they say, you know, in times of a depressed economy like this, you know, what sells the best is cigarettes and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like gambling. And I'm sure movies do, too. Entertainment,
yeah.
Anything that will take
escapism.
Our mind. Yeah, escape. And so you're so right. But then when you were saying that to Ms. Barb, it just reminds me of something we always talk about, you know. It's the part of the church. And, you know, we have a captive audience. They have a captive audience.
They have a captive audience, that's right.
And as Liberty Council, and I'm going to try to find that Liberty Council, you know, that we that format, that forum that they gave for everyone to look at what can be done inside of a church. You know, you can send out information to your congregation. It is not against the law. It's not illegal. And if the church would just do that, wow, Ms. Barbara, because they are captive audience. You know, they're going to be sitting in church. Why not distribute something that they're going to take home? And maybe some of them will glance. I know 100% rate probably is impossible, but you will get some of them, and it's really amazing because what is it that I've heard people say? If you can get to the right one, that one person can stand up to a congregation and inform the whole congregation. I've heard that before, and that's why I'm so excited even about our little radio broadcast. We don't know who's listening, but if that right one listens, and I have heard said before of it, I remember them hearing Chaplain Klingensmith. And I heard a friend of mine said, you know, this lady had heard it. She got up in front of the church, and she let them know the details. And so, you know, so we're praying for you, that you be that one. And I like what Ms. Donna Garner says, each one teach one. If you will do your part to even just tell one, you may not be the one that stands up in the congregation, but on down the road, one of those people that you tell,
yeah,
you know, has told to somebody and may have such a passion and may be so moved that they will organize something, you know, that will make a difference. But it won't happen if you don't tell. If you keep your mouth shut and just hope for the best, you know, that's so much easier to do. But unfortunately, nothing comes out of just sitting there and doing nothing.
That's right. And, you know, we have to do this. We have to inform others about the reality of our world today. And we also, at the same time, we've got to be spreading God's truth and be winning souls for the kingdom of God, because it is only that as we're inwardly changed by God and we're born of His Spirit, that we're going to apply what we learn from God in His Word, then we apply it to our world, and that world changes. It's the inward change first applied to the outer world, and that's how it's always throughout our history in this nation been. We never would have had our war for independence and our freedom that we won if we had not had the Great Awakening first. And it was in that Great Awakening where so many souls were saved. And after they were saved, and after they began seeing themselves as God sees us, that we are fearfully and wonderfully created by God to achieve great things. And we have, when we're when we're born again of His Spirit, we begin to see our value, and we begin to see the value of others. We begin to understand our own importance to God and to each other, and there is a dignity that we gain when we be able to, when we're able to understand and see ourselves as God sees us. And so with that dignity and that value, then we began to apply God's truth to our world. And we see changes that need to be made. We see people suffering when they're suffering physically and they need help. Well, hospitals were built. People became doctors to help others. That was the overriding motivation for the medical field being developed in this country, was to help others. It was not to pursue wealth. It was to help others. And everything else, we see the suffering of people in ignorance, so the desire to educate them. Schools began as a result of the Great Awakening. Schools and colleges, universities, the need to see more souls saved. So there were ministers trained in the gospel ministry in these colleges. All the colleges were started for that purpose. So we see every aspect of society affected in a good way, profoundly changed as a result of the inward change when the Spirit of God touches us and we are of one spirit with Him. So, you know, we've got to work with both hands. We've got, as Nehemiah did, we've got to build. We have to win souls and build the kingdom of God. We have to defend our foundation, what has already been built but is being rapidly taken away from us. We have to defend what we have left. We have to inform others and get them involved as well. So it is a big work, but we serve a big God, and it is doable.
Indeed, Miss Barbara. And that just reminded me, you know, the founding fathers that really was inspired by God to establish the Constitution, they were so gifted. And we see that with the formation of the Constitution, unlike any others in the world has ever seen. And I just think of there's one thing that Colonel Eismo, I know we have asked him to talk about Horatio Bunce, the story of Horatio Bunce. And it just reminded me while you were speaking, Miss Barbara, you know, I worked for human resources where we gave aid to the needy and the poor. And I always thought it was a wonderful thing, you know, that this nation did that, you know. But what man had tried to attempt, you know, I think as something really good for the people, unfortunately, because of men, you know, man has a tendency towards evil unless the Holy Spirit, you know, put a stop on some of the manipulations. Unfortunately, this has been manipulated. You know, we talk about food stamp program, the welfare program. You know, that has been manipulated really to now put people in bondage, even though it started off as a good thing. And that's why I'm reminded of Horatio Bunce. If you don't mind, tell people what that was about.
Sure. Well, Horatio Bunce was a man from Tennessee. He was a farmer, and he was a reader, and he well understood the Constitution. He was approached by David Crockett, who was running for re-election as a United States congressman, and Horace Bunce told him that he would not vote for him because David Crockett had voted for charity to be given out of public out of the public treasury, and that is totally unconstitutional. And he would not vote for anyone who didn't know and understand the Constitution and stay within those constitutional boundaries. And so David Crockett said, "What are you talking about?" So he relayed the time. I think there was a situation, a natural disaster that had occurred, and the Congress voted funds out of the public treasury to meet this natural disaster. And, you know, Horace Bunce said, there's no provision for that. The purpose of government is not benevolence or charitable giving. He said, you know, you can take out of your own pocket as much money as you want to give, but the Constitution says it's strictly off limits. That's not the proper role of government to do that. Now, having said that, we need to just pause for just a moment and look at that. At that time, you know, David Crockett realized what he was saying, and so he apologized, said he was learning a few things, and he would never do that again, and so forth, and he didn't. He understood that, and from that point on, he was always one to say, you know, let's stay with the Constitution, and let's take out of our own pockets and what money is needed for a charitable cause, but not from the government funds, because that is not the proper role of government to do that. But we go back to the preamble of the Constitution, and it lists six goals for government. Six. And the 10th Amendment to the Constitution says, whatever is not listed in the Constitution, whatever is not listed, that the government does not have, the federal government does not have authority over anything that is not listed. They don't have responsibility for it. They don't have authority over it. That authority and responsibility belongs to the states and to the people, respectively. That's what the Constitution says. So we've gotten so far away from that at this point that it is just totally ignored. What Horace Bunce knew in the 1800s, and what David Crockett stuck to once he understood his mistake and began to understand the proper role of government better, you know. But we're so far from that. But that is actually how it's supposed to be, what the Constitution says.
And Ms. Barbara, now we have evolved to where we now will be funding abortion pills for innocent babies.
That's going to come out of my money that I pay the government, and something that I don't believe in, that I oppose, strenuously oppose, and I'm going to have to pay for it? That is so wrong. That is so wrong.
And yet they're also going to cut money for our defense. And he's going to hold our hostage, really our military hostage, in the upcoming budget debate, the fine line. And to me, it is all so wrong, Ms. Barbara. Not to be awake, I think you'd have to be hiding your I think you have to be blind. And so we really have to be praying for people that are, for some reason, have been totally blind. And I've heard of a story about a Protestant fighter, you know, in the British IRA or whatever. He was an officer that was put in prison. He was one of the most atrocious fighters, you know, over there in Ireland, where they have the Christians and Protestants fighting. And, you know, he says, I was very sincere, but I was sincerely wrong. And I hate to say that is what's going on. There are so many people so adamant that if the Democrats do not get their way, the poor people will be destroyed, will be the ones hurt. They cannot see the truth. And I've worked for human resources. I have seen the poor people. And I think, really, if the truth would be known and really would be found out, they have been made a slave because more of them do not get married because of their tie to government benefits. You know, yeah. Even the elderly do not wish to get married because of their tie to just exactly that. And families break up because if the husband is working, you don't want him in the home and his income to be, you know, counted. So you play as he's not at home. So really, we have demoralized the family. These children are watching their parents having to live a lie, and they're having to be a part of that lie. Oh, Daddy does not live with us. So we have done that. I think they said 40 million Americans are on welfare? That is an awful lot of families, Ms. Barbara. Even if we hit 10% of that as caught in that struggle, which is a lot higher than that, you know, more than likely, I think you'll see the percentage of those that's really telling the truth, not in bondage, is very small. Most of them are having to circumvent the truth in order to get, you know, the food stamp allowance or, you know, a Medicaid benefit, something like that. So we really have deprived them. And I saw somebody last night, Ms. Barbara, that spoke up on that beautifully. I cannot remember the lady's name, but she had it right. She said, we need to begin the conversation by laying the truth out on the table, something that the Democrats, unfortunately, have not done. And Republicans need to be proclaiming also.
Well, to create a people who are dependent upon government doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while, but they've been at it for a long time now. And it didn't just begin with the Great Society and President Lyndon Johnson, although it certainly got its feet going rapidly with that. And, you know, the dependency on government, that has to happen, that had to happen in order to get the votes for continued welfare payments, you know, and so forth. And so it's become a vicious circle, the dependency, those who are dependent upon government checks, and they vote for people who will continue to give them government checks. We see that now happening with the Hispanic community as well. And that dependency, you know, we see the big push for amnesty now by the Democrats so that they will get the votes those who are dependent upon government benefits, and it's criminal. It is criminal to make someone dependent upon government and not upon themselves and upon Almighty God. And what a life, Diana. It's a terrible life.
Well, it's a terrible life when you have. Really made me think about that, you know, the children that are having to live that life. You're preparing the next generation, and I'm hoping that that lady, I cannot remember her name that spoke last night, will be heard more because she's speaking the truth. If you want to preach, no, it wasn't Sarah Parker. I think
Star
she was Park. On. No, it was on Hannity. I've not seen her before. We need to try to interview because she's on the right path, Ms. Barbara. She has it. Exactly. She is so right. And I can agree to that having worked for several decades.
Well, there is a beautiful young black woman by the name of Star Parker who was on welfare herself and was able to get off of it. And she's a prolific writer, and she speaks the truth. She has come from that place, and she sees the bondage, and she sees the slavery, and she sees what it's like to live on the plantation, to be at the beck and call of and looking for a handout from the master. She has been there. She has done that, and it is abhorrent to her. And she speaks out, and she, you know, every opportunity, and she writes newspaper columns and about how awful it is and how wonderful it is to be able to accomplish some things and be productive and be responsible and be accountable. I mean, you become a human being, you know, the way we're supposed to be when we're responsible and accountable. And, you know, so she's a good one to listen to also.
Yeah, she is. I have seen her. She is wonderful, Ms. Barbara. They have it right. And, you know, this is what's wrong with America, is the media is not letting the truth come out. People like that are who needs to be on all the media. If you really want to help the poor, you need to be listening to them and really come to the table and, you know, let's really work out with truth on our side. But no, but what they want is really they want a hostage. They want people that would do their bidding according to their vote. Never mind that all this money is going to be gone one day. There will be no food stamps. There will be no Medicaid, no Medicare if we do not stop what we're doing. So it's a blindness that's even hit even the Democrats, because, and I'm sure most of them are starting to say to themselves, you know, this game is going to run out. It's going to run out one day. But they'd rather it run out, and they'd rather be a crisis, is what I'm seeing. Well, Ms. Barbara, we're about out of time. I'm just now getting excited.
I know it. We're just now warming up, girl.
Yeah. Well, God, it's so good. There is hope. And
yes, but I
got angry when we got to thinking about that, because the black people have been put in bondage again. And it's awful by their own people who, unfortunately, are at the very top of the ladder and who have the money and can say what they want to say. And it's a lie. It's a lie. And I'm praying that, you know, we hear people like Herman Cain. He needs to be, you know, listened to more. You know, that work ethic is something wonderful. Well, with that in mind, Ms. Barbara, I'd like for the listeners to hear you close us in prayer. And I pray the church will heed and be a part of this, relieving people from bondage. My goodness.
Yes, indeed. Oh, very good, Diana. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, O God, in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our King. And we come before you, Father, praising you for who you are, that you are God. There is no other. There is none above you. There is none beside you. There is none like unto thee, O God. You are God. We thank you, Father, that you are the God of all hope. You are the God of all encouragement. And we can have hope, and we can be encouraged in you. Father, you are the God of all wisdom, and you desire for your people to have wisdom. You desire for us to have hope. You desire, Father, for us to do well, to prosper, even if our soul prospers, Lord. Your word tells us. You desire for us to be productive and to accomplish great things. Father, to create from what you have placed here within this world. It pleases you, Father. It pleases you. And it pleases us, Father, when we do it, when we have that satisfaction of being able to do something and do it well. You created us, Father, to thrive and to flourish, to be successful, to be satisfied, Father, with what you call us to do on this earth. Father, we're created to be like you in your own image and likeness, do great things that give you pleasure. I pray, Father, that would be the message, Lord, that is received all over this land and throughout the world, Father, that you are God, you created us, you love us, you have great desires for us. And I pray, Father, that we'll be able to cooperate with you, that we'll be able to win souls into the kingdom, Father, that they would be born of your Spirit, that they, Father, would learn your truths of your word, that you reveal yourself to us in your word, and that we would be able to apply those truths. Lord, I pray, Father, for all those, Lord, that do not yet know you, that they will come to know you, Father, personally, intimately, and be in right relationship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and begin this wonderful life with you, in you, and through you, O God, our God. We love you so much, Father. We will have hope, and we will, Father, do what you would have us to do in the time you give us. In Jesus' name, Father. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Ms. Barbara. Well, we'll talk again tomorrow, and hopefully Don Wildman will be on with us to give us her perspective, Tea Party perspective, on what happened in Congress this week. Well, thank you, listeners. Oh, please lift these people up in prayer that are hurting, those out of work, and really are feeling hopeless. We thank God that He is our hope, and we know the end of the story. May God bless you. May God shine His face upon you. Thank you, Miss Barbara.
Thank you.
Thank you, listeners, for listening to City on a Hill Radio Show. Goodbye.